B-Pod Studios.
WrestleMania. It's the WrestleMania 37 recap show on the Sports Hub with Jimmy Stewart, Joe Murray, and featuring Mike Sarge Riley. Now, here's Jimmy Stewart.
What a great ending. What a great ending to WrestleMania right there. Roman Reigns pins both Edge and Daniel Bryan after concerto shots. What a great finish to WrestleMania. The head of the table, the tribal chief, retains the Universal Championship. James Stewart here, Joe Murray. Joe, what'd you think of the main event tonight?
Definitely the best match that we saw here. If you ask me, there'll be talks about night one or night two, but just to wrap up a couple of things that we just saw as we get instant reaction, we got triple concerto, we got double spear, we got double submission spot, and we had double, I believe, referee interference or Jey Uso interference. I'm surprised with the ending a little bit here. But as we're watching the fireworks and WrestleMania end here, I thought it was the best match of the night. And obviously, this is a big spot for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Joe Murray, this match was great. It's probably one of the better WrestleMania main events, at least in the last few years. The fact that Roman Reigns retains the Universal Championship and pins both Daniel Bryan and Edge after concerto chair shots, after just violence, if I can coin a phrase, violence. The thing that I actually thought was interesting was after Roman concertoed Edge and he moved him over to Daniel Bryan, who is still in the same spot that he was after the Edge concerto, that Edge was going to somehow be covering Bryan and it was going to be an accidental win for Edge, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Roman adjusted him so that both Bryan's shoulders and Edge's shoulders were on the mat. So he pinned them both in a triple threat match. And I don't think, I can't recall seeing that. I remember there was a double submission of Jericho and Chris Benoit, King of the Ring, on Austin, and they called it a non-finish of Austin tapping out. But I can't think of a triple threat match that has ended with the winner pinning both guys. That's such a great finish, and it just shows the dominance of Roman Reigns in retaining his Universal Championship. And they just did the ceremony, as WrestleMania is now off the air, of Roman Reigns continuing to be the tribal chief. This was a great match, and this is 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're taking your phone calls tonight until 1 a.m. It's me. It's Joe Murray. Mike Riley will join us shortly. 617-779-0985. 617-779-0985. Jeff Williams producing. He'll be taking your phone calls before you get on the air. And Joe, just the main event was just so good. Roman retaining was just so good. What other highlights from this match did you like?
All right, so obviously Edge got the biggest pop right from the start. It had that big match feel for the most part. Jey Uso made an impact in this one early on, right? No disqualification in this one. Edge, that dribbling of Roman Reigns from what the apron to the announce table, and then threw him off the post. I thought that was very good. And then you saw Jey Uso had to be carried out to an injury, but they destroyed the outside. And while Roman was hurt on the outside, we actually got a one-on-one Edge versus Bryan there. Again, we got the double spear collide between Roman and Edge. Looked like it hurt the both of them. And then we had the yes lock. And if you watch, you see this great camera angle of Paul Heyman again. Paul Heyman at a WrestleMania with some sort of reaction. We remember the one from Undertaker years ago. Well, this was, please don't tap, please don't touch, when Edge made the save. There was a double Edge lock. One Edge did a yes lock. Brian had an edge, a lock as well. And then again, the concertos to the double spear by Edge. Brian pulled out the ref. It had the storyline that we were looking for. We watched Edge turn into the rated R superstar. We saw Brian as the babyface, and we heard the crowd yelling at Roman. In the end, Roman was the top dog, but he definitely had help here. And I think at one point, Edge had the win if it wasn't for Brian.
Edge did have the win a couple times during this match. What I loved about that yes lock spot was Edge does a crossface, the yes lock, and changes it into a piece of the chair that had broken off. And then Brian puts his arm up so that Roman Reigns can't tap out. He can't tap out. And then puts the yes lock on it. And Roman can't do anything because he can't say I quit. He can't submit verbally. And he can't tap out. So there's nothing to do. And then he passes out eventually because Brian and Edge are now headbutting each other. Which there are little details in. Do you really want Edge and Brian, who have a history of concussions, to headbutt each other? Do you really want them to take concertos? And we assume that they're top performers, so they're safe. But kind of bugged me a little bit. I was a little concerned that they were doing those types of spots during the match.
No, I actually liked it. I think it was for a safety. I get it. All right. But for the most part, I think the storyline lived up to it. You know, three guys that maybe got this pulled away once for them in their career. Overall, I think this saved WrestleMania, but is this the ending everybody wanted? I'm not sure. And also, was the beginning of WrestleMania the ending that everybody wanted? I think the way they opened and closed it keeps us wanting more tomorrow night.
Which is the story of what WWE is trying to keep doing, is keep you locked in, keep you asking questions. Remember, they make movies, and to open the show, they made a movie, all right. And we'll get to that when we talk in the second segment about what we didn't like about WrestleMania, because based on your commentary here, Joe, I think you didn't like the open of the show.
If we're going with the opening match, I actually liked it.
Okay.
Because of the heat. Right. And let's explain it. The opening match is Randy Orton, Fiend.
Yep.
And everyone's been waiting for this one, right? The build up, the promos, the yets, the Alexa Bliss, you know, the whatever the black goo that's coming out, you know, coming out of Randy's mouth that we saw later on tonight. We saw the Fiend that wasn't burned, right? Was one of the things we saw here. A nice tribute to Brody Lee in this one from Bray Wyatt. The first time that we've seen the Fiend, since Brody's death. So I wanted to at least throw that into the equation here. But Alexa, woof, the Jack in the Box, the Fiend jumps out, burns out. We got a triple vintage DDT. We got a double mandible claw. We got the Sister Abigail Alexa at the end. And then the way that it ended, I just felt like Randy Orton got the win and was plus 500, by the way, on DraftKings for those that are keeping track. I just think that everyone hated the outcome, and I could feel the heat from the crowd. A real actual crowd at a WrestleMania. I felt the heat, Jimmy, and I thought it was good for the storyline.
Yeah, it's interesting that they started both night one of WrestleMania and night two of WrestleMania with the villains, the bad guys going over, and the crowd. Night one, Lashley retaining over McIntyre, I felt like there was an appreciation from some of the crowd for him, for Lashley retaining. This one, when Alexa Bliss and the Fiend were having a stare down and they faded to black, the crowd booed. They didn't like that. And there is this aura around the Fiend Bray Wyatt that he should be in a better spot than losing the opening match to Randy Orton. The entrance of the Fiend and Alexa Bliss with the Jack in Box was great. Was absolutely great. The ending is, let's see what happens, right? Like, why is Alexa Bliss causing a distraction for the Fiend to lose? Why is that happening? That's your cliffhanger. That's your reason to tune into Raw. And I kind of anticipated after Lashley retained and anticipating the ovation that The Fiend was going to get that WWE might be going in a direction of Lashley versus The Fiend for the WWE Championship. So that obviously isn't the direction they're going unless you're going to have Alexa Bliss join the Hurt Business, which I don't think that that's going to be part of the Hurt Business remodel. I don't think that's going to be the case, Joe.
Yeah, but for the most part here tonight, you know, what we the one thing about WrestleMania, what's great about being on a live show right now is instant reaction.
Yep.
I'm satisfied with the main event, and I thought it saved both nights of WrestleMania, but I enjoyed it. I'm happy with it. Was it the best? No. But I'm sure there are some people who hated it, and I'd love to know what the reaction is.
Yeah, 617-779-0985. 985, the Sports Hub here. Joe Murray, James Stewart, we're going to take your phone calls tonight, 617-779-0985. And Joe, do you want to talk to the people of Boston or the people
let's
of Tampa?
Let's do it, man. I want to hear what they think.
All right, let's go to...
In or out?
Are you in or out of WrestleMania? I really enjoyed WrestleMania. There's some nitpicks that we'll talk about on the other side. But let's go to the people of Boston. You want to go to Tom? Tom, you're up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, WrestleMania post-game show with James Stewart and Joe Murray. Tom, what's going on tonight?
Hey, fellas. Good to hear from you. Good talk already. But I got to – first thing, Joe, I got to disagree. I thought the Fiend match was terrible. I just don't see him having any good matches. If they put him in with the Hurt Business, I think that would – in a one-on-one, it's just unwatchable. His matches are all unwatchable. But my main point is I think they should keep it – two nights, because that main event was so good. If it was at the end of a 5-6 hour show, it would be a disaster. People would be so worn out. I wonder what you guys think of that.
Tom, thank you for the phone call. Two nights, Joe. I like the idea of one night, but it's got to be 4 hours and tight. If you're going to do two nights and 14 matches, and because you want to get everybody on WrestleMania and a payday, then... yeah, that's probably the approach that you're going to have to go as opposed to having an 8 hour day for WrestleMania Sunday. Joe, what did you think?
If I'm comparing the events, I thought tonight was a better card, more star power compared to last night. I still like the one night. And Jimmy, it's because we've been to these events.
Right. And we've sat there for a long time and we look at the clock and we're like, wow, this show is good, but we don't have the energy to continue to participate in it.
Yep. And one teaser, if you watch the Chris Jericho Stone Cold podcast later on after our show.
Yep. Well, it's on demand right now. It's on demand right now. I watched it this morning.
They'll talk about how, you know, when you're the main event, everybody's leaving. So when you go back later, everybody's already gone and doesn't care about the main event. So, you know, maybe that caller's on to something there. But again, I thought this made the night. I'm glad we're reacting to it because that was a hell of a match by three great competitors. That place was trashed. I think they left it all out in the ring today.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And Roman and Edge and Bryan are just three of the best superstars that they have, three of the best wrestlers. And they got to showcase. They got a good amount of time in the main event of WrestleMania. Roman Reigns retains the Universal Championship over Edge and Bryan. He pins both guys. Roman Reigns pins Edge and Daniel Bryan.
There's controversy.
Controversy. What is their controversy, Joe?
All over Twitter here.
Oh, boy.
Didn't Edge pin Bryan, therefore?
No. See, when Roman, I noticed this too. I noticed this specific detail. When Roman drug Edge over, Edge's shoulders were on the mat. Bryan's shoulders were on the mat when Roman covered both of them. So four shoulders down, Roman's on top. Roman retains the Universal Championship. Is this really a Twitter controversy?
Looking at it right now, but I agree with you. He pinned both guys. He won.
He pinned both guys. That's why he is the tribal chief. 617-779-0985. On the other side, Joe and I will tell you what we didn't like about WrestleMania here on 98.5 The Sports Hub's post-WrestleMania talk show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to the WrestleMania 37 Recap Show on the Sports Hub. This is the WrestleMania 37 Recap Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That, of course, the theme music of your Universal Champion, my Universal Champion, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. James Stewart, Joe Murray here. This is your WrestleMania Night 2 postgame show. You want to join us? We're taking live phone calls on pro wrestling. That's awesome. So let's get to the calls, and Joe and I are going to tell you during this segment what we didn't like about WrestleMania. And then coming up next segment, we'll have Mike Riley, and I want Mike Riley to defend the Rhea Ripley match. That's my goal for Mike Riley next segment. But right now, let's go to the phone calls, 617-779-0985. You hear somebody drop off, you can jump in and join us. Let's go to Elliot in Boston. Elliot in Boston has a thought on the Fiend-Alexa Bliss match. Elliot, what's going on, my friend?
You know, Joe Murray said that Bianca Belair is the best, you know, made face in the WWE. When you look at Alexa Bliss, she is now the focal point of a storyline that's gone back 3 to 4 years now between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I love the way they swerved us. We didn't see any of that coming. You would typically expect, you know, fire and the Fiend to win. We get an RKO, a Fiend loss, and now a turn from Alexa Bliss onto the Fiend. I was very, very happy with the way the show opened. And for this, you know, you would have thought this was the ending of that story. This is now the next chapter to that story. I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Elliot, thank you so much for the Elliot, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the support of the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast presented by Boom Boom Games. So the Alexa Bliss story, she has been such a perfect character in all of this Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton stuff. And really, everything that Alexa Bliss has done since she was called up from NXT has been gold. The Goddess run, this run, just all of it. Joe Murray, what do you want to add anything to Elliot's call?
I think that Alexa is doing a fantastic job. My only thing is he made a mention of my Bianca Belair take is she's the greatest. She's the greatest created, prospected, developed. Babyface in WWE history. You know, they brought her up. They found Mark Henry, found her, brought her to an event. She went to NXT, won the Royal Rumble, and now is the champ and is the best babyface they've ever had. Now,
performance error. Can we specify?
Yes.
Can we specify performance error?
Performance error. And Sting got brought up as one in WCW, but that doesn't matter.
Anyways, he had a heeled run. The only performer that I could think of, and I tweeted this to you and Billy Lanny when you were talking about it this morning, is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I can't recall him doing any work on the villain side of a wrestling ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so rare, especially now where everybody's turning, everybody's doing deceitful things. But Joe Murray, I am always reminded that it's good guys versus bad guys is just passe.
Yep. But what's Alexa, right? And the only thing I'm going to say about that is, she hosted Mania last year. In the last, I don't know, few months, she's been a pawn or whatever she is to the Fiends. What is she? I guess we don't know. Is she Sister Abigail?
Well, Alexa Bliss also scared Asuka a few months ago. And after Alexa beat Asuka on Raw, I think it was before the Rumble, I thought Alexa Bliss would be in line for a title shot, and that did not happen. More on that in a few minutes as I we'll hope that Mike Riley can defend the Rhea Ripley match against Asuka tonight. We'll see if that happens. Joe Murray, what did you not like about WrestleMania tonight?
All right, first and foremost, Bayley. I thought both nights she was putrid. Like, how is she not a part of a match or involved? It's annoying. It was annoying. It was bad. The Bellas, you know, some people might like the, oh, John Cena's not here. I didn't like the Logan Paul. I just don't know what was needed there, but the crowd wanted the stunner, and that was good. And I don't know, were there too many title changes at WrestleMania? Just felt like there were maybe a little bit too many, and yeah, we'll get into that Ripley-Oscar one, because I don't know what that does for Oscar. The greatest pandemic-era champion of all time to not have a match since whenever? That actually ended in a, you know, a loss? Yeah, the Oscar era has not been great.
So I didn't like that night two felt a little bit rushed. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens did not jump off the pirate ship, so I lost that prop bet on Felger and Maz. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn had just under 10 minutes. Sheamus and Riddle beat the hell out of each other for just under 11 minutes. Apollo Crews and Big E beat the hell out of each other for 7 minutes. Rhea Ripley and Asuka went too long. They went 13 minutes. And when you have a situation like, I get that the main event needs 40 minutes, but this is why WrestleMania should either be one night and not everybody gets on WrestleMania, or they need to tighten up the two nights, because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn should have more time to tell their match, tell the story of their match. Sheamus and Riddle should have a little bit more time, especially when they're beating the hell out of each other. And I understand that they had some botches in there. They didn't exactly light the world on fire with their chemistry in the ring. And Apollo Crews and Big E, they used kendo sticks to get heat. And there were some good spots where Big E does the modified rock bottom onto the steps. But then Dabba Kato?
That bothered me. Go ahead. Yep.
From Raw Underground last summer reappears, and the announcers don't know who they are.
Was in the draft. He was in the draft this year. Part of the draft. Like, how do you not know who that guy is?
And the answer is because Vince told him to act stupid there. But we all know who it is, or most of us know who it is. And that kind of bothered me that we couldn't get a clear identification. And it's obviously a rebranding of a character that we're going to find out more about in the weeks and months to come as to why he helped out Apollo Crews. And now he's on SmackDown. But I also hate that they took the Intercontinental Championship off of Big E. And maybe this is a situation where we need to wait and Big E is the next challenger for Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Because that's a question that over the course of the next hour or so I want to discuss, is who's the next challenger for Roman Reigns after he pinned Edge and Daniel Bryan at the same time. All four shoulders were down. There was no controversy there. So that's something I want to get to. I also want to get to next, Mike Riley. Not the new Bruins defenseman, Mike Riley, who the Bruins sent a third-round draft pick to Ottawa for defenseman Mike Riley. But our Mike Riley, the hardest-working side hustler in radio, coming up next, he's going to defend the Rhea Ripley-Oscar match. I promise you he will. And we'll take your phone calls as well. 617-779-90. Try the number again, James. Hey, at least I didn't give out my cell phone number on Twitter. 617-779-0985. Mike Riley comes up next, and more of your phone calls here on the WrestleMania Recap Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show that makes you feel like you just got hit by a chair. The WrestleMania 37 Recap Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is my brutality!
Brutality!
That is the theme song of Rhea Ripley. This is my brutality. Man, they did not have a good night. Rhea Ripley wins the Raw Women's Championship from Asuka in a match that just didn't sing to me. Brutality. That's a good way to describe that match. That was brutal to watch on my end. Joe Murray is with us. Let's welcome in special guest, as I thought I heard in the open, the guy who side hustles more than anybody else, not the new Bruins defenseman, Mike Riley. Mike Riley, your job right now is to defend the Rhea Ripley Oscar match. So, Mike Riley, the forum is yours.
I can't defend it.
Good. 617-779-0. Go ahead, Mike.
No, honestly, as much as I love Rhea Ripley and as happy as I am for her to win the Raw Women's Championship, you know, that match went 13 minutes, 27 seconds too long. And, you know, the statistic of both of them being in the same match at the 2019 Survivor Series and the three-team elimination, the first time they were in the same ring since then right there, I just really thought this match had no flow. It was boring. Ripley with the Riptide powerbomb, that was a pretty good spot right there. And then, you know, the only other statistic I get out of this here in the end is that the final two women in this year's Royal Rumble, Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, are now champions. You know, Bianca Belair becoming a SmackDown Women's Champion last night, Rhea Ripley tonight. But this was a short build story for Rhea Ripley and Asuka here, only 3 weeks in the making, if you will. Ripley coming out the night after Fastlane to challenge Asuka right there, and Asuka accepts it and so forth. And you can't help but wonder to think of what could have happened here if Charlotte were in this picture like last year. Her and Rhea Ripley, I thought, tore down the house at WrestleMania 36, and I think that would have been a real big game changer here if Ripley and Charlotte. I think that's a better long-term storyline for Rhea Ripley. But a lot of talk this week outside of, in WWE for that matter, the potential returns of Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. So one of those two superstars going for Rhea Ripley's title in the near future, that is a very real possibility. I think that would definitely grab more of an attention. But the bottom line here is that Rhea Ripley is the new Raw Women's Champion. I'm happy about it, but that match, though, was not a good match. And, you know, Jimmy, another thing, too, you talk about the pace of the matches tonight, especially the Kevin Owens one. The longest match up until tonight, going into night number two, 18 minutes, 10 seconds. That was the Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley match last night. The main event tonight was just over 22 minutes. The Roman Reigns, Edge and Daniel Bryan one. Everything else, though, you're looking, they were pretty short and they moved this thing right along here. 22 minutes for the main event there, but everything else, though, quick paced, fast paced, but that Ripley Oscar one did not feel like a fast paced match.
And maybe that's my problem with it. Maybe that's my biggest problem with it, is everything felt kind of rushed. And then we got to this match and it was a slower, methodical pace. Rhea Ripley winning the Raw Women's Championship over Asuka was more of a technical tied type of match. I'm not sure. Rhea Ripley, just for some reason, she just doesn't sing to me as a performer. I don't feel her vibe as a fan watching the show. So maybe it, Mike, as you know, usually with me, it's a me problem.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
But
real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Both Royal Rumble finalists and won titles tonight.
Yep. Bianca Belair defeated Sasha Banks last night to win the SmackDown Women's Championship in the main event of WrestleMania Night 1 in what I thought was a great match. Wonderful match with those two. And as we talked about on the podcast, Mike, Joe, and I did a recap of Night 1, and we talked in detail about how great Sasha Banks looked in that match, how usually she comes out with a pouty face when she knows she's losing. This time she came out all smiles. I thought she was going to win. She lost, and she did. Sasha Banks did everything within her power to make Bianca Belair a star, and I think she did that. Mike, I'm going to ask you next segment what you liked and what you didn't like about WrestleMania, but first I want to go back to the phone calls with the people. You want to call in. It's WrestleMania postgame show, 617-779-0985. 617-779-0985. We're jammed with phone lines, which is amazing. So you hear somebody drop off, you can jump right in if you want to call and talk to us. We're on until 1 a.m. tonight. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy's in Milford. Jeremy, what did you think about WrestleMania?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I thought it was a fun weekend for us fans, and it feels kind of like a homecoming to some sense with like the fans in the crowd. I thought WWE delivered big. My favorite match was Sasha and Bianca, and you know, Sasha even exited the ring with a smile on her face. That's how good of that's how happy she was last night. But real quick, one thing that I'm upset about is the Riot Squad. Why do they hate them so much? Liv and Ruby were so deserving of a big win this weekend. They should have gone over tonight. I really think WWE made a mistake there. What'd you guys think?
Jeremy, thank you so much for the phone call. I love the Riot Squad. I've been a fan of the Riot Squad for a long time. Of the tag team matches that they had over the course of the two nights of WrestleMania, the women's turmoil match on night one and the women's tag team title match, I thought the Riot Squad was the best tag team of the grouping. And why they haven't gotten the tag team titles, why they were split up when Sarah Logan was part of that team a few years ago, I will never understand, because they're all friends outside the ring. They have tremendous chemistry inside the ring. They were doing basic tag team, double team moves. And why the Riot Squad hasn't gotten a clear championship run just baffles me. But maybe it's because they're undersized performers. They're missing something. They're looked at as enhancement talent. And if that's the case, that is criminal. I love the Riot Squad. I hope they have a successful run. Joe Mike, what do you think?
Nah. Meh.
Meh.
I will say tonight's tag team title match, though, I was surprisingly enjoyed it. Surprisingly enjoyed it.
Hey, hey, Joe, Mike, you want to break from format for a minute for some breaking news?
Let's go ahead. Let's do it.
Do you have the break?
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Go ahead, yeah.
Can I do this?
Go.
I've always wanted to do
if
this
you want
for
me
this
to
team.
Do it, I can do it.
No, I got it. Elliot Friedman, blue check mark. 2 minutes ago, Taylor Hall is coming to the Boston Bruins. Taylor Hall is coming to the Boston Bruins. Don Sweeney has made a move, and Taylor Hall, according to Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, blue check mark, Taylor Hall to the Boston Bruins.
And Mike Riley. Let's not forget that. This is a big night.
Mike Riley, the defenseman. Mike Riley, once again, you've been overshadowed by another move.
only two goals this year, but they made a move. So,
if only he spelled it the right way, though.
Let's see what the return is here on Taylor Hall. But Taylor Hall, according to Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, blue check mark, Taylor Hall to the Boston Bruins. That's awesome. I hope he's got something left. I hope Taylor Hall decides to be better than what he's been in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested on the return. I'm interested in cap retainment. I have to assume Buffalo is going to retain some salary here. But wow. How about that? We do a WrestleMania post show, and we get to hit the breaking news sounder on Taylor Hall to the Boston Bruins. That's awesome.
Your whole career is coming full circle, James.
That's awesome.
It's a heck of a night.
That's a great night.
Yep. A hat trick night.
On the other side of this, Taylor Hall, a Boston Bruin. that's awesome. Like I love Taylor Hall. Hopefully he's better than what he's shown, but we'll see. On the other side of this, Mike Riley, I'm going to ask you what you liked and didn't like about WrestleMania. We'll take your phone calls on WrestleMania. If you've got a Bruins thought, we'll work that in, right? We can work in a Bruins thought here or there. 617-779-0985. We'll be back on the other side.
And now, this is Boston's only no-holds-barred, bone-crushing show that's all about WrestleMania. It's the WrestleMania 37 Recap Show on the Sports Hub with Jimmy Stewart, Joe Murray, and featuring Mike Sarge Riley. Now, here's Jimmy Stewart.
It is the WrestleMania Recap Show. Night 2 of WrestleMania in the books. Joe Murray, Mike Riley, James Stewart speaking. Very exciting that as we're on the air doing WrestleMania talk, the Bruins made a trade. They acquired Taylor Hall, according to Elliott Friedman in Canada. Darren Drager, blue checkmark, confirming Hall and Lazar to Boston for Bjork and a second-round draft pick. Anders Bjork. That's actually disappointing. I like Bjork. Bjork's got some potential. But we're not here to talk hockey. Joe, go ahead.
All right. I'm ready. I'm ready for WrestleMania Night 2. Oh, one just quick thing on the trade.
Yes.
Bruins made a move. They didn't give up a first-round pick. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and Taylor Hall, who's having a bad season, 37 games, minus 21, 19 points. But he's still got the potential. He's 29. So let's put him with Krejci. Let's put him with Bergeron. Let's put him with Coyle. Let's see if he can help. Maybe he'll be motivated coming to the Boston Bruins. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Mike Riley, I want to get what you like and what you didn't like about WrestleMania in a second. I want to go to the people of Boston. You want to hear from the people of Boston?
Yes.
Let's go.
All right. Let's go to John. John is online too. John, you're up here on Sports Radio 98. Yeah. I almost did an old history lesson right there. You're up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. What'd you think of WrestleMania?
I thought for a second that you guys had it all together. But my big take is that Cesaro, you know, last night it got very emotional. You know, people that I was with, because they were all like banged up, they were complaining about, like, you know, the crowd's not too good. I'm like, are you out of your minds? Because we finally have a crowd, obviously. So I'm thinking, like, this moment right now for Cesaro, who is probably, you know, top five best wrestlers in ring that we've had X amount of years. I'm thinking, like, where the hell am I going with this? Because it was so emotional for the crowd to be back and to see something like that. For Seth Rollins to just, like, push him through was absolutely incredible. And the WWE Universe absolutely has to respect the shit out of...
Come on. I do take pride in knowing that he's comfortable enough to use that kind of language. I appreciate that.
Listen to our podcast from last night. We discussed this in full length.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
put him over.
On Cesaro, I was happy he got the win. But in short, he had his WrestleMania moment 7 years ago where he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and he slammed the Big Show over the top rope with little to no effort. So Cesaro had his moment. He was put with Paul Heyman after. And so now, is this the reboot of Cesaro after his win last night over Seth Rollins? What can we do differently with Cesaro that is going to take him to that next level that everybody's anticipating?
Add him to the list against Roman, possibly, right, Mike?
This is definitely a reboot. And you know what? It was his first one-on-one match there. And I think it's one of the greatest matches Seth Rollins ever had in his career. That may have been one of the top matches of WrestleMania weekend right there, the Cesaro-Seth Rollins match, for that matter. But Seth Rollins had a fantastic match last night, one of the best of his career of all time, last night right there.
So I think Seth has had better matches. He had the WrestleMania match in New Orleans where he won the Intercontinental Championship against Miz and Finn Balor. He had a Raw Gauntlet match that I thought was better. But, you know, Seth Rollins did what was best for business.
Yeah.
And that's he put Cesaro over. They have a great storied history. Let's go to next tier. If you want to call into the show, this is WrestleMania postgame on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Boston Bruins have also made a trade. They have acquired Taylor Hall. Let's go to, if you want to call in, it's 617-779-0985. Let's go to Liam. Liam on the cell. You're next here with James Stewart, Joe Murray, and Mike Riley. Liam, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Liam.
I am first time, long time, guys. I'm so happy to hear WrestleMania post-game show here on the Sports Hub.
Is this Liam Stryker from the New Age Insiders?
Of course it is.
Liam.
Liam, what'd you think about WrestleMania tonight?
You know, I absolutely loved it. I'm not a huge fan of the two-night, multi-night WrestleMania format. I didn't like it when Wrestle Kingdom started doing it, and I blame them. But, you know, I think it was great having so many talented wrestlers on the show over the past two nights. And it gave everybody a lot more time to, you know, showcase the type of, you know, talent that the WWE roster has.
Yeah, and you know, I do like for this year and last year, for that matter, the two nights, especially last year with the beginning of the pandemic where nothing was going on and people were literally ordering the WWE Network just to watch because, you know, you had no hockey playoffs during that first week of April, no baseball, no NBA action, nothing. It was just absolutely dead. And I think WWE tried to parlay off of that from last year, the two-night WrestleMania event. But again, too many matches to have it two nights, so you have that luxury, but it is a lot of to do that. I think one night, make it more special. Less is more. One night here on out, go back to that formula. And sure, if you want to start at 8 o'clock, that's fine, and end by midnight, but you got to cut the fat though down to 6-7 matches like you had tonight, and that's it for a one night WrestleMania, period.
Liam, I'm curious to think with Roman Reigns retaining his Universal Championship, what do you think is next for my tribal chief and the Universal Champion? What do you think they go next?
First thing I have to say about Roman Reigns is he is by far the most compelling character in professional wrestling. And having him double pin both Edge and Daniel Bryan was beautiful. It was savage. It was awesome. The crowd gave him the proper reaction. It was wonderful. In my heart of hearts, I would hope that it is Big E. He ends up, you know, going through the program, finishing, you know, after losing the Intercontinental title. And the next thing that he does, the next big thing that he does, is take on Roman Reigns, hopefully at SummerSlam in a meaningful program.
Liam, thank you so much for the call. He's part of the New Age Insiders. They're friends of the program.
Great guy.
If you want to check Liam Stryker on Twitter, he's out there, and he's a good friend, and he's a good caller. Mike Riley, what did you like about WrestleMania?
Well, the whole two nights, what I liked were the matches, the best matches I thought. Seth Rollins and Cesaro, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and I also liked Sheamus and Riddle. And again, the main event, that was my favorite match of the whole thing. But those three right there were my three favorite matches for the whole two-night affair. And I think that, you know, you talk about the Kevin Owens-Sami Zayn match, it was short. But they did tell the story from back in 2015 for the NXT match that they had there at Rival. And this was the first time that an NXT match between the two superstars headlined each other right there from an NXT takeover. I'm sorry? Yeah, the first time ever, same match contested at a takeover and a WrestleMania right there, those two. So I thought that was a good story how they told that there. And, you know, Kevin Owens, I have said that I think he's a better heel. But again, those two work so well together. And I think this would really started to make the night better, night two of WrestleMania, because that first match there for The Fiend and Randy Orton, I think it started off a little slow. I was not into it. The Tamina Natty and Nia Jax Baszler spot, it was a good match, but again, didn't really have the attention there, so that really got things going. The Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens went, and last night, Cesaro and Seth Rollins, that got the first night of WrestleMania going as well. And I think an underappreciated match back to night two here, the United States Championship with Sheamus beating Riddle, kind of an old school classic sort of match right there. I really enjoyed this match. They both really had a good showing, and good for Sheamus right here. He is one of now five superstars to win a United States Championship at WrestleMania. The others, of course, being John Cena, JBL, Kevin Owens, and Jinder Mahal. So really happy to see Sheamus win the United States Championship tonight over Riddle.
Coming up next, we're going to take more of your phone calls. I'm going to tell you what I liked about the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match. I'm going to tell you what I liked about the Sheamus Riddle match. And we'll get more of your phone calls. 617-779-0985. And oh, by the way, the Boston Bruins have acquired Taylor Hall, which I'm probably way more excited about because Taylor Hall is a myth more than he is actually producing for the Buffalo Sabres. But Taylor Hall, the newest member of the Boston Bruins. Your WrestleMania recap show continues here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the WrestleMania 37 recap show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That is the theme song of Kevin Owens. He was victorious over Sami Zayn. WrestleMania recap show, night two WrestleMania. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's myself. It's Joe Murray. And this was the match. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens was the match that I was most looking forward to. They got less than 10 minutes. Kevin Owens didn't jump off the pirate ship. Or the arc that Vince McMahon built because they had a weather delay night one. But there were some small details that I really liked about the match. And they were rushing. The action was good. Kevin Owens wins with a stunner on Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens also stunned Logan Paul, who's an influencer, who I don't know anything about because I'm not Fred Toucher. I don't know the influencer game, Joe. So Logan Paul was there. Hopefully he got more eyes on the product. But I thought there was a bunch of different sequences during the Kevin Owens-Sami Zayn match. The pop-up powerbomb off the top of the match. Kevin Owens tried a powerbomb on the apron on Sami Zayn, which was a little detail to the night that Kevin Owens debuted in NXT, and he powerbombed Sami Zayn after Sami won the NXT championship. Just some great sequences, the multiple clotheslines, the Huluga kick, the trash talk, and then Owens gets the win with the stunner in the middle of the ring. Thought that match was great. Second best match of the night for me. Joe, what'd you think of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
Absolutely agree. JBL out on the call as well. Logan Paul got a boo for reception. He's like a part-time boxer. He's not like the most well-over guy.
He's an influencer, so I need to talk to Fred on Toucher and Rich about this, right?
Sami Zayn, I like the dancing gif at the beginning, kind of like that. Yep. You mentioned the pop-up powerbomb. Owens looked strong early. He hit that cannonball in the corner as well. Then Sami came back with a brainbuster off the apron as well. Logan sucks. Chants were good. There was a little turnbuckle exchange between the two of them. We got the frog splash two count. This is awesome. First chance we got. There was the Owens reverse slam off the top rope. And then a couple of sweet chin musics. The stunner. And then Logan Paul comes into the ring. Crowd gets on Logan. Stunner again. And everybody popped. And there was your big finish.
So the goal is to have the KO stunner on Logan Paul to be a trending gif, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can tell me about Logan Paul, by all means, I'll take your call. 617-779-0985. We have full phone lines, Joe Murray. One other thing about that I want to say before we get back to the calls. Sheamus versus Riddle for the U.S. title. They beat the hell out of each other for this match. And the chemistry was a little shaky at times. There were some botches in there. But the biggest detail that I took from this, and I'm not sure how I should interpret this, Joe. So help me out here. Early in the match, Riddle hits a jackhammer on Sheamus for a near fall.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a tease of Goldberg? Or is that Sheamus sandbagging Matt Riddle because he doesn't like him?
Okay, the Goldberg thing is real because, remember, he's always gone after some of these legends.
Yep.
It definitely was trending. Definitely.
Okay.
But I think he was just showing the strength. I mean, let's face it. Sheamus is a heavyweight. Riddle can be that guy too. And I thought it was more of a test of strength than maybe it was hinting towards something though, for sure.
Let's go to, is this Denise on line four? Denise? If you heard a click on the radio, that means you're on the air. I don't think it's Denise. Jeff, who's
Matt it? And Seekonk.
Matt and Seekonk. What'd you think about WrestleMania?
Loved it.
What did you love about it?
I wanted to get your thoughts on Roman Reigns and the reaction that he got in the main event.
Thank you so much for the call. I loved Roman Reigns in the main event. I was so happy that he double pinned Daniel Bryan and Edge. It felt like he got cheered coming out. He got booed at different spots. They chanted Roman sucks at him. And then they did the ceremony. And I didn't have the volume all the time because I was getting ready for it. But Joe, what do you think of Roman Reigns' performance?
Well, You suck after a power bomb into a table. And then he goes, now what? The only thing that bothers me is, has Roman won a match on his own without Jey Uso?
He's a heel.
I get it. It's just that I think that's what's starting to bother people. But hey, when we were on the air, they actually did something live on Peacock, and it was him and Paul Heyman. He said something. I didn't hear it, but I'm sure he's like, yeah, you know, I'm the baddest, whatever. But I'd like to watch that match again, because I think they all left it out on the line. And I think it's the right finish, Jimmy. We discussed it on the podcast, you know, which way it should go. I thought Edge would probably be the right time to do it. We thought maybe the swerve would be Brian, but maybe they did make the right call tonight.
So now it's a question of what's next for Roman Reigns. Is it Big E, as Liam mentioned last segment? Is it another match with Edge where it's one-on-one? Because even though Edge was defeated, Edge had the title won if Daniel Bryan doesn't stop Roman tapping out to the crossface / yes lock. So is there more of this Edge-Roman Reigns story coming? Or are they going to move Edge to another program? Because Daniel Bryan's now had three cracks at Roman, so we assume he's headed out. He'll help get some more talent over. And could there be another story, Joe, with Roman and Rey Mysterio? Because Rey and Dominic Mysterio, I anticipated winning the tag team titles over the weekend. They lost on SmackDown on Friday night. So is there a story of Rey and Dominic Mysterio challenging Roman Reigns and Jey Uso?
Yeah, I would say somebody who lost tonight. Big E's probably the favorite. How about Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins. You know? Seth Rollins. But they're both bad guys, Joe.
Yeah. No, I know. So maybe in, you know, Cesaro could be one. I always look at the guys who lose and who could be the next up and comer. But you mentioned, could Edge move to Raw, go up against Lashley? Does Drew now switch over to SmackDown? I thought it was a little SmackDown heavy, didn't you think, tonight? A little SmackDown heavy?
It was SmackDown heavy. I mean, both nights were main evented by SmackDown performers because both winners of the Royal Rumble were from SmackDown.
So maybe they switch it up a little bit. But yeah, I think Big E might be the guy. And I don't know. Let's not forget, but we got SummerSlam a couple months away. There's a Money in the Bank happening. So that maybe that's something to start projecting of who that could be. But who's next for Roman Reigns? It's definitely a great question. Love to know if anyone's got thoughts.
Excellent. Let's go back to the call. 617-779-0985. Let's go to AC in Providence. AC, you are on with James Stewart, Joe Murray, and the WrestleMania Recap Show.
Yes, sir. I want to thank you guys for even doing this as a wrestling fan who lives in New England. Like, thank you so much. It's much appreciated.
AC, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. I feel like night one was much better than night two. However, I feel like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, knowing their story, knowing where they came from, had the best match of both nights.
AC, thanks for the call. Yeah,
in a little amount of time, I agree, because I think we could tell the chemistry there between the two of them, right? If anything, Jimmy, I was more impressed with Sami Zayn's performance. And not saying Kevin Owens wasn't. Owens looked strong. It's just I think you finally saw a guy that, you know, for a guy that's all doing a lot of talking, we finally do making some moves in the ring.
So Sammy has been a good guy for most of his career. And then he turned for the first time like 2-3 years ago. And I think he's been a better bad guy, a better heel than he had ever been as a good guy. And he was a great babyface good guy. But I think I would put the world title on Sami Zayn in the future. I think his promos are that great. I think his in-ring has always been great. So there's got to be a way to get Sami Zayn a world championship in this WWE run. He was the Intercontinental Champion, and he had a shirt made that said, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. Mm-hmm. And he's just, his promos, his in-ring work, he checks all the boxes. So he should be a world champion at some time. And we talked about the Money in the Bank, Joe. Sami Zayn for Money in the Bank. What do you think?
Yeah, that could be a little. And again, I think we should start forecasting. And then when do we start seeing? I guess this is probably something that probably should have been at the lead. But do you think that maybe there was some star power missing? the Goldbergs, the Brock Lesnars, the John Cenas. Was it missing? Do you think it was right tonight? Because maybe those are the people that start getting back into the picture as we start heading towards the Money in the Bank and also a SummerSlam coming up.
I think they're saving everybody for Dallas. I think they're saving Goldberg. I think they're saving Cena. I think they're saving Ronda. The Rock is the name that always comes up because we all assume that they're doing a Rock-Roman Reigns match at some point at a WrestleMania. They have to put 100,000 in Dallas. There was a no-hitter thrown in Texas on Friday night. Place was packed with fans. They're going to get 100,000 next year in Dallas for WrestleMania. So what's the big match? Is it Roman versus Cena or is it Roman versus The Rock? It's one of those two, right, Joe? Like, that's the long-term build. So I think that they use this WrestleMania to get fans back in the building, to have enough moments where you remember it, and it's not like they threw away the WrestleMania in Atlanta just to get to the WrestleMania in Miami, so that Cena, Miz winning was overshadowed by the tease of The Rock versus Cena, which headlined WrestleMania 28 and 29.
Yeah. Also, may I just mention, NXT is something that really wasn't brought up much, but there were some people who lost on NXT that could get call-ups as well, who could be in the conversation possibly of going up against Roman as well. Maybe a Finn Balor, who never lost his title.
The biggest call-up that I actually want to see from NXT is I want to see Adam Cole on Raw, and I want to see him in a program with Drew McIntyre.
Both of them lost. Think about it, Finn and Cole.
Yep. I love Finn's gritty style on NXT. I would prefer him stay on NXT than go to SmackDown or Raw. That's just a personal preference. Let's talk about more of those names potentially transitioning from NXT to Raw or SmackDown. And we'll give you some other thoughts on WrestleMania. The WrestleMania recap show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, continues. The Bruins, the Boston Bruins, about 30 minutes ago, acquired Taylor Hall. That's awesome. That is really awesome. Breaking news, the Bruins acquired Taylor Hall. The WrestleMania recap show continues next. 617-779-0985. We'll take more of your calls. We'll get some more thoughts from Joe Murray. We'll get some more thoughts from me.
This is the WrestleMania 37 recap show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Classic WrestleMania themes. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's James Stewart. It's Joe Murray. Another 25 minutes as we take you up until 1 a.m. WrestleMania recap show here. Joe, you want to talk to the people of Boston and then we'll get to some more of our WrestleMania thoughts?
Let's line them up.
Let's go to Anthony in Revere. Anthony, what'd you think of WrestleMania night one, night two? What'd you think of WrestleMania overall?
I thought it was really good. You know, I think the Kevin Owens match is probably one of the top matches. The Roman's Reigns match, I mean, I don't know. I like it. I get it. But I just don't know where they go with Daniel Bryan and Edge from here. You know what I mean?
Where do you want them to go, Anthony?
I don't know. I think Edge will obviously put over some talent that they have. But Daniel Bryan, I have no clue. I really wanted to see Edge win the belt. I thought that would have been quite fitting, to be honest. But, I mean, I get why they did, and I think Brock Lesnar will come back eventually too, and have something with Roman and with Paul Heyman going on.
Anthony, thanks for the phone call. Brock Lesnar, the beast incarnate. What's next for Brock Lesnar? Is it Bobby Lashley? Is that why he retained? Is Brock Lesnar coming back to challenge Roman Reigns? I don't see either scenario happening immediately. SummerSlam, Dallas. Now you're talking. Joe, what do you think? Brock Lesnar, when do you think he's coming back?
Yeah, Bobby Lashley's been talking about that match for years.
Yep.
I'm wondering if it would happen. Maybe SummerSlam, right? Maybe there'll be fans. That's a WrestleMania match, though. You know, maybe they get it there. I probably should have mentioned earlier that Edge is originally on Monday Night Raw. So maybe we see that happen this week.
Edge versus Bobby Lashley. Edge versus Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. And he mentioned what's next for Bryan. Maybe he takes some time off, but he's always in the picture, man.
Yeah.
And especially on that SmackDown show, they can put him anywhere.
Yep, I agree with you. Let's go to 617-779-0985. You hear somebody drop off, you can pop right back on. God bless you people. You wrestling nuts. Us wrestling nuts, Joe. Just the fact that we have full phone lines. It's 1236 a.m. It's post-WrestleMania. We have full phone lines wanting to talk wrestling, wanting to talk WrestleMania, including Ray. Ray, what'd you think of WrestleMania tonight?
Well, I thought that the ending spot with Roman Reigns was kind of like extremely disappointing in the fact that it's so predictable, and that it's really annoying in the fact that you see it and then an ending like that, that it's always Jey Uso getting involved, where I think that the difference with it dropping the ball in WWE is the fact that Kenny Omega is the best heel in the business, and because they keep keeping it fresh with him. And WWE is just tied in with a bunch of foolishness, like the stuff that they do with Alexa Bliss and everything. So that kind of drama, and that's where they're putting that creativity rather than putting it into their matches. And you talk about dead spots in between matches. You can eliminate all the promos of reliving matches from 6 pay-per-views and 12 Raws and SmackDowns in between each match. So, I mean, it's just kind of lethargic. I thought day one was much better than day two. Day two is incredibly incredible letdown, in my opinion, in a lot of different ways.
Ray, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in. Joe Murray, who's a better villain, Kenny Omega or Roman Reigns?
I think it's Kenny Omega, to be honest with you, right? I mean, he wanted the, you know, the way that everything, you know, I know this is WrestleMania driven, but I think it's Kenny Omega to answer the question.
Interesting. I don't think it's Kenny Omega. And I'm a huge Kenny Omega honk, or at least I was. I was so interested when he beat Moxley for the All Elite Wrestling Championship. And then they run off with Don Callis. Kenny Omega runs off with the AEW title with Don Callis and teases that they're going to be on Impact. I haven't liked the follow-up with it. And that's why I think Roman Reigns has been the best character in wrestling since he came back and reclaimed the Universal Championship, the pay-per-view after SummerSlam. I don't think it's been a question that Roman Reigns has been great, has been the best villain character, good character. He's just been the best character. There's just such an aura around Roman Reigns and the story with Jey Uso, the story with Kevin Owens. I haven't felt that with Kenny Omega since he's become a bad guy. But my idea of Kenny Omega is Chris Jericho, 40 minutes, Okada, an hour. Like, that's my vision for Kenny Omega. Well, and he's totally swung the other way. And Kenny Omega recently has become more of a sports entertainer.
Ooh, see, I think this barbed wire match, I just think of late, he's been becoming more of the heel, where Roman thinks he's the head of the table. It has nothing, he doesn't even have to be a heel, right? He's just, he just thinks he's the head of the table, while Omega's continuously trying to get guys that he used to work with to be on his team in his side that's not working. You know, Roman's got everybody who wants to be on his team thinking that he's the reason why.
And with AEW, I think they're telling these longer term stories that you can't miss an episode of Being the Elite. You can't miss an episode of Dynamite. And while I appreciate that, I feel like that's unrealistic for every fan to do. Does WWE have too many video recap packages? Yes, absolutely. Do they reset stories too much? Yes, absolutely. That's because they're always trying to get the guy with the clicker to stop on their program and understand what they're about to do. Could they clean that up? Could they tighten that up? Yep. But they're going for, they already have the hardcore fan. They already have the generational WWF, WWF fan, and now the WWE fan. And I think that's kind of what they're going for. Let's go to 617-779-0985. Let's go to Jason. Jason's in Stoneham. Jason, what'd you think of WrestleMania tonight?
I have a lot to say about this weekend. First of all, I want to say Jimmy Stewart, huge fan of yours. I was a bartender at the Forest for many years, and my favorite part of any events at the Garden was shooting the shit with, sorry.
It's okay. Keep them on. Just dump it. It's okay. Jason, I appreciate your comfort level where you can cuss on us on the show.
I'm sorry. And I had you on one side and Harvey Whippleman behind me. So a shout out to Harvey Whippleman on the very off chance that he's listening tonight. I had a lot to say about WrestleMania, but I can't help but follow your narrative here with what you guys are talking about. I agree with you wholeheartedly about the Omega rundown, essentially, of his past, I want to say maybe 2 months or 3 months of just kind of fizzling out. Not fizzling out necessarily, but the deal between Impact and AEW, I feel like that was a missed opportunity recently. But to compare Roman and Omega, you want to talk about a slow burn. I'm very much so hoping that the Roman saga continues, and I hope to kind of go back a little bit to what you guys are asking about what's next for him. I hope long-term, I hope it is The Rock. I hope that is the long-term plan, because that writes itself, and that is can be brilliantly done. And I'm very happy with the retention tonight from Roman. Also very happy with the retention of Lashley. I think there's a lot of value in the chase from McIntyre. I hate to break this wall, but I think that the perception of the quote unquote, you know, hardcore fan, or whatever, it tends to turn on a guy like McIntyre, who holds the title for too long. So I like that chase in him. I think there's more interest in a chase for McIntyre, though I don't know if that's the move for Lashley. What's next? I like the Lesnar idea with Lesnar and Lashley. I do like that, but I don't know that there's necessarily a long-term plan for Lesnar moving forward. I think that he's always in the back of the mind for everybody, and that goes back to his return years ago when he came back, you know, at the end of Raw, coming in and interrupting Cena. I think there's a lot of value there, but I don't know that necessarily that's the move for Lashley. I think Money in the Bank is going to be huge. And the last thing I want to touch on is the Sami Zayn saying that hopefully he gets his title run in the WWE. I hope that's true. I hope that he gets a World Heavyweight Championship. But I hope it's NXT. I hope that that's the move for him. I hope that the volume of NXT moving back to Tuesday night really kicks back. And that the focus kind of sheds to guys like Zayn. And I hope that it stays with somebody like Adam Cole, who I don't want to see, as much as I want to see someone be successful on Raw and SmackDown, I'd like to see Cole stay where he is just to not lose in the shuffle. And I hate that that's something that we always have to talk about. But Zayn, Cole, working a program in NXT, I would love to see that.
Jason, thank
you. That's
my
thoughts, guys.
Jason, thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you for your service at the Fours. I miss the Fours greatly. One of my favorite places to go before and after a game, before and after a wrestling show. But Sami Zayn back to NXT, not a terrible idea. Kind of like the idea. He brings up a good point about McIntyre, Joe. Mm. What's next for Drew McIntyre?
Sheamus.
And the U.S. Championship?
There you go.
Sheamus and the U.S. Championship is next for Drew McIntyre. Interesting. I don't know that I believe that. I wonder, Joe, if they're going to do the draft early. I don't think they will.
Yeah.
But there are so many intriguing crossovers that they could do if they did the draft early. The other thing, do you think they'd put the briefcase? You think they would have Drew McIntyre win the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the guys I'm looking at are like who we didn't see tonight. Keith Lee. That might be somebody that could be in there. I mean, Braun Strowman won a match yesterday that was meaningless.
He beat Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. He worked with the McMahon, so that's going to get eyeballs.
Maybe
Strowman versus Lashley. Would they do McIntyre versus Strowman? And then you've got two good guys? Or is McIntyre going to the evil side? Is he going to be a heel?
You want to know it's another name we didn't mention?
No, what
Randy,
is it?
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. What's next for Randy Orton? Good question. Because that, you know what? We'll share some thoughts on Randy Orton as we continue our WrestleMania post show. It's James Stewart. It's Joe Murray. The Boston Bruins made a trade. They got Taylor Hall. And we're talking about WrestleMania. Joe and I will give our thoughts, our final thoughts, as we close in on 1 a.m. Coming up next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the show that makes you feel like you just got hit by a chair. The WrestleMania 37 Recap Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
voices in my head. They counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
You got tools in your religion. That is the theme song of Randy Orton, the Viper. He had a pinfall victory over The Fiend to open up night two of WrestleMania. It's James Stewart. It's Joe Murray. WrestleMania recap show. 10 more minutes here. We're going to get to your calls, but Joe Murray, you have a point on Randy Orton.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe the pinfall tonight seals the deal with him and Bray. Maybe it will always be there. Maybe the Legend Killer will always be something that's, you know, his stigma or moniker or whatever. The whole thing with Bray now is, you know, what's the angle with Alexa? Is there more to it? Could they introduce another character? Could somebody, Rowan, could that be somebody that, you know, that I'm just throwing it out there. Joe, there's got to be more to what we saw tonight.
Joe, what do you believe in?
Ooh! Ooh, I love it!
Of course, Bo is the brother, relative, cousin?
Brother.
Of Bray Wyatt. And so maybe you'll believe in something, and maybe that's the next character that gets introduced into the Fiend and Alexa Bliss story. I want to rapid fire through these calls. We're on for another few minutes here. It's the WrestleMania recap. It's Joe Murray and myself. Frank in Abington, you want to talk about the NXT potential call-ups?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just wanted to talk about, obviously you said Adam Cole's coming up already, and but I want to talk about Io Shirai. What's she going to do next? And if something's going to happen with Pete Dunne, put him against Daniel Bryan. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call, Frank. Io Shirai lost the NXT Women's Championship to Raquel Gonzalez on NXT TakeOver this week. She's been one of the best wrestlers in the world for the last year plus. She got the championship in a triple threat, defeating Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. I don't know where she fits in really on Raw or SmackDown. I think she's in a good spot in NXT right now, and I'd like to see her and Raquel, at least short term, have a few more matches. Joe, do you have a thought on Io Shirai?
Yeah, it seems like she got her farewell. Maybe she's the next woman that's called up there. I felt that she got that farewell at Stand and Deliver, so... yeah, maybe she's, and with Charlotte out, right? You need to mix it up a little bit. Becky's still out. So maybe she's the one that gets called up and, hey, listen, that women's division right now, you know, Rhea, Bianca, right? I mean, they're still doing good things in NXT. It's very positive looking here for the women, for sure.
Think about this. Three of the four horsewomen didn't wrestle at WrestleMania, and the two new champions in Bianca Belair defeating Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship on night one, and Rhea Ripley defeating Asuka tonight on night two of WrestleMania. Those are the two new faces of the women's division. So let's see where they go with it. Matt Worcester, you're next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Joe Murray, James Stewart on the WrestleMania recap show. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just had a quick point about The Fiend, man. I'm a big, big Bray Wyatt fan. I just don't get, you're going to bring The Fiend back, have this whole Burn character, and then have him just lose to Randy? I mean, does this speak more towards, like, they want something for Alexa, or, like, just not really getting that whole doing Bray dirty on every single pay-per-view, you know?
And just one last question. Who is going to challenge Roman Reigns to actually get the belt? Thank you.
Whoa.
I think it's The Rock. I bet The Rock wins it. But I don't know. Big E would be a good long term. Outside of that, they really don't have anybody on that level who is believable to beat him.
Seth Rollins, baby.
Seth Rollins is a good one. Seth Rollins is a really good one. On the point on The Fiend, I think that The Fiend and Alexa sell tons of merchandise. There's a movement for The Fiend to be in a main event picture. But I don't know that WWE wants to tell you the story that Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, is their representative champion. And I think that's where they get caught up on things.
I wonder if Bray is a worker. Like, I thought he looked okay in the ring, but we just don't see him enough, and they're worried about holding him back a little bit.
It could be possible. Maybe they didn't like the fact that he sandbagged Goldberg when he dropped the Universal Championship more than a year ago, really. Steve in Haverhill, you're next up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with James Stewart and Joe Murray on the WrestleMania Recap Show.
I actually love every point that you guys are making right now, because the fact of the matter is that, yes, The Fiend is absolutely the merchandise king. But let's talk about Roman Reigns being the absolute god. But what do I know? I'm just tripping on mushrooms.
Oh, that's awesome. So obviously a Matt Riddle and a Matt Riddle fan, right?
Well, we got a little RVD Riddle tonight too. Those rolling papers, man. Yeah, bro.
Matt Riddle, bro. Though. Matt Riddle's an interesting character.
UFC, he lost tonight.
He loses the U.S. Championship. Yep. That crowd seemed to love Matt Riddle. And I find that so interesting that Matt Riddle was one of the more over characters in NXT. He gets the call off. He has some issues. He's worked through those issues. He's got the U.S. Championship. Him and Sheamus have a hell of a match. He loses the U.S. Championship. So what's next for Matt Riddle? And I don't know, because the Matt Riddle character of, hey, bro, what's up, is so different from the performer that you see beat the hell out of Sheamus, and Sheamus beat the hell out of him. So there's a little, like, weird character flaw somewhere there. Don't you see it, Joe?
Yeah. I mean, I think the promos work well. He's got it in the ring. I'm telling you, he does.
He does.
Problem is, he drops it a little too much. He'll have a rematch with Sheamus. I bet you he might be a candidate for the Money in the Bank.
Be a good one. It would be a good one. That Sammy, speaking of the Money in the Bank, as we wind down here, Money in the Bank, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, Matt Riddle. If McIntyre doesn't win Money in the Bank, And by the way, the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania Backlash. It's not Money in the Bank. Yeah. But last year it was, and so whatever. But long-term, do you want the sneaky heel to be the Money in the Bank briefcase owner, or do you want the babyface who's going to call his shot for his championship match? Or do they use it in the way that they did with CM Punk a few years ago, where he wins it as a good guy, cashes in on the second case on Jeff Hardy, who just won the title, and becomes a villain? What's your preference there, Joe?
I love swerves. I love the surprise. Seth Rollins, I think, had one of the greatest ones ever. So for me, give me the swerve. I don't know. I don't care who has it. Like Otis last year, blah, and it turned into Miz. That was bad, and maybe it was the times we're living in. But give me a swerve.
I liked Otis at the time winning the Money in the Bank, but I thought the play was always Mandy Rose is using Otis to get something else. I thought Otis at some point would give Mandy the briefcase, and that didn't happen. Mandy Rose had the best win of her career over Sonya Deville at SummerSlam, and they did nothing with it. And then they broke up Mandy and Otis with no payoff. And then Otis has to drop the Money in the Bank briefcase to Miz, and Miz cashes in successfully and has it for a week, and it was good. And now Lashley's the WWE champion, as he retained in the opening match of WrestleMania Night 1 over Drew McIntyre.
Hey, can we just mention all the boos for Hulk Hogan? Titus getting all the cheers. And then I thought that the Hall of Famers were very good. Bischoff got put over RVD. I thought all that was very good, and I liked the way they mixed them in.
Yeah, it was interesting that Hulk got booed in Tampa, his hometown. Mm. Except I saw lines on the Hulk Hogan Beach Shop Instagram. Lines up the street. Everybody loves Hulk Hogan. They're coming to his beach shop. And now Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania is getting booed. I thought the pirate outfit was a little bit much. But it's sports entertainment, right? Joe Murray, thank you so much for doing this. You've had a long day. I appreciate it. Thank you to Mike Riley, who joined us earlier tonight. Thank you to Jeff Williams for producing the program tonight. Thank you to all of the fans who support Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast presented by Boom Boom Games. Thank you to everybody who called in tonight. Checkpoint Radio is coming up next here at 1 a.m. And Toucher and Rich at 6 a.m. They're going to talk about the Taylor Hall to the Boston Bruins trade. Very excited. James Stewart, thank you, everybody. Good night. Drive home safely.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.